Good morning, everybody, and a very warm welcome to anyone who is visiting or who's here for the first time. As usually on a Sunday, this service is followed by interactive worship at 11:30. But for those of you who are thinking of coming here at 6:30 for the evening service, don't do so. It's not here. There'll be a joint service to launch Christian Aid Week at the Methodist Church. A couple of items of personal and pastoral news. Christine Burgess is in St. Helier Hospital, and Philip Sawney has gone back into hospital. He has an infection which isn't clearing up, so please do pray for Philip and Alwyn. Christian Aid Week kicked off last night with a quiz here which raised, I think, nearly £300, and it lasts till Sunday. Next Sunday, so there's still lots to do. Help is still needed, I think, for door-to-door collections and also with the Flag Day and Market Stall next Saturday. If you're able to help, please have a word with Ray Charlton. And Peter Ashdown, Georgina Forbes, and Ray Erskine will be doing the Christian Aid Circle the City Walk next Sunday. If you would like to honour their athletic endeavour by sponsoring them, please do speak to one or all of them after the service. And today's loose cash collection will also go towards Christian Aid. There are three opportunities in the coming week to find out more about plans for the Child Contact Centre here at Kingston URC on Tuesday at 9:30, 4:30 and 8:30. You'll find more details in the service sheet. And also, I'd just like to mention two musical events with links to the church here, which are coming up. This coming Saturday, our fellow member, Martin Daldorf, conducts his last concert for Claygate Choral Society, in Claygate at Holy Trinity Church. Tony can give you full details. And as you may remember from next week on Sunday, the U3A Orchestra will be performing here at the church in the afternoon. Liz or Ken Bartlett can let you have tickets and further details. Don't forget, please, that if you've not got one yet, please see Holly Christie for a new parking ticket. And finally, calling all actors, our neighbours Kingsgate Church have put out an appeal for would-be actors to take part in a play for Kingston in early July, which aims, they say, to bring the Bible to life. Now, this afternoon is the final opportunity to join up if you want to do so. Teresa James can give you further details.
Good morning, everybody. Today we celebrate the opening of Christian Aid Week, and the service is largely taken from the Christian Aid website, which I thought this year was particularly good. We begin with the call to worship, which will be projected up there. Right. Creator God, in you we believe, maker of thought and music, maker of the wind, maker of peace and love. Jesus, our Lord, in you we trust. Friend of the poor, companion of the lonely, shepherd of the lost. Holy Spirit of life, in you we find our belonging, source of our unity, disturber of our complacency, bringer of transformation. Blessed Trinity, gather us in to your community, in the power of your justice, in the conviction of your promise, in the glory of your vision. Blessed be God forever. We join in singing the first hymn, The Voice of God Goes Out to All the World, number 131. Let us pray. Together we draw near to the God of life. Merciful God, we give thanks that love is making all things new. So we ask your forgiveness for the times when we have turned away from love. You had wandered away like sheep. Now you have returned to the one who is your shepherd and protector. You called us to follow you along the paths of righteousness, but we wandered away like sheep. Forgive us. We wandered away from the paths of righteousness. Now we have returned to the one who is our shepherd and protector. Diminished by the practice of injustice, wounded by our lack of peace, we dream of a common righteousness. We had wandered away like sheep. Now we have returned to the one who is our shepherd and protector. Renew us in the image of Christ, the good shepherd, who gave his life for us, so that we may live in such a way that your world may be freed from poverty and all your children will have life and have it fully. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We join in saying together the words of Psalm 23, you will find on page 978 in Rejoice and Sing, but it's projected on the screen. 978. Sorry? Oh, it's page 978. Oh, I beg your pardon. I've been using the book with music in, so I can't tell you what the page is for the other one. I apologize for that. We can follow it on the screen. Let's say together, the Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me to lie down in green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make within the paths of righteousness, e'en for his own name's sake. Yea, though I walk through death's dark vale, yet I will fear no ill, for thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. My table thou hast furnished in presence of my foes. My head thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore. Our first reading is to be read by John Watts.
This reading is taken from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, in the second chapter, beginning to read at verse 42. They spent their time in learning from the apostles, taking part in the fellowship and sharing in the fellowship meals and the prayers. Many miracles and wonders were being done through the apostles, and everyone was filled with awe. All the believers continued together in close fellowship and shared their belongings with one another. They would sell their property and possessions and distribute the money among all, according to what each one needed. Day after day they met as a group in the temple, and they had their meals together in their homes, eating with glad and humble hearts, praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And every day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. And here ends that reading.
That reading from Acts is a particularly challenging piece. It's a story about how the apostles were moved by the Holy Spirit to hold all things in common, to share their possessions, to care for those in need, and to eat together full of rejoicing. And that was a response to what they had heard from Jesus. Jesus had shown them a bigger picture of what life could be like when they looked beyond their own concerns and let themselves be transformed by love. And that, in essence, is what Christian Aid seeks to do across the world. Christian Aid partners across the world are changing communities and individuals by working together in the spirit of cooperation. And the work of Christian Aid is manifold. We couldn't possibly begin to hear a fraction of the account of the work they do in numerous countries. So we pick one at random. We picked Nicaragua and the story of how in Nicaragua, as an illustration of how they operate, Christian Aid has brought together people who were engaged in growing coffee and enabled them to increase the quality of their coffee, to market it at a fair price, and to come together in cooperatives, which gives them strength. It helps them to negotiate with the open market, but it also means that the profits are channeled back into doing things for their community. And I've got a quick series of slides, which I shan't comment on. We'll just go straight through them. This lady is called Fatima, and she is Fatima Ismail, and she is the director of an organization called Sopikska, which is a Christian Aid partner organization working in Nicaragua, and they promote various projects. And in this case, it's a project with poor farmers engaged in making coffee. We'll go reasonably quickly through. That's the coffee stacked up. This guy is called Gustavo Adolfo Talavera, and he's a small coffee farmer, and his business was totally transformed by getting a loan from Christian Aid, which enabled him to process the coffee better, a small, it says, but environmentally sound coffee processing plant, and produce organic coffee, and that's now exported internationally. One of the disadvantages of the sunlight is that it's extremely difficult to see these pictures. That's a bit about the cooperative. And that, we'll pause on that one. Gustavo wanted to use the increased profits that he was getting, and he'd always had children, a sort of makeshift school in his front yard. They didn't have any real equipment, but they were learning their lessons insofar as they could in his front yard. And then he always had an ambition to build a school. So they set aside money from their increased profits to buy materials, and they built the school themselves with their own hands. And now there are a number of children there who are hoping to go to university. And this is a complete transformation in the life of that community. So this community now is a place of hope. Here's they've set up a brass band. So I'm glad they're not here, but otherwise they'd rival the U3A orchestra. But there we are. That's catching. And that's a picture of the new school. So that's a single illustration of the way they work. And there are a number of key features on it. They work through partner organizations. So in this case, in Nicaragua, the partner organization is called SOPIXCA. I'll test you afterwards on remembering it. It's called SOPIXCA, and this is the organization which has decided selectively which projects they're going to back and brought people together into a cooperative. Which negotiates deals which individually would be completely impossible. So, in celebration of that, I'd like us to sing our next hymn, number 95, God is Love, Let Heaven Adore Him. Number 95.
Second reading is taken from St. John's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Jesus said, "I am telling you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who goes in through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep hear his voice as he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought them out, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow someone else. Instead, they will run away from such a person because they do not know his voice." Jesus told them this parable, but they did not understand what he meant. So Jesus said again, "I am telling you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All others who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever comes in by me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come in order that you might have life, life in all its fullness." Thanks be to God.
Christian Aid's theme this year is the creation of new and transformed communities. And the invitation to us is to share in that work. And it's a formidable invitation. I'm sure that, like me and Liz, you're besieged daily by heart-rending appeals for help from people and communities in this country and across the world. And to be honest, there is little we can do about most of those. Yet simply receiving them and knowing the situation but being unable to help weighs us down. We have the dubious privilege of knowing far more than previous generations about the world's sorrows and need. And our knowledge is not just enlightenment, it's certainly a burden. And at the same time, we are very conscious that we are in the top 2 or 3% of human beings in terms of economic prosperity, privilege, and wealth. I remember Andrew Marr reviewing the situation of people across the world and reflecting on what an astonishing piece of luck it is for us to be living in Britain. And this is not a reason to feel guilt, but it is a reason to thank God for his goodness to us. And the question we have to go on to consider is how we can share in this task of transforming communities in a way which is in some way a response to God's goodness to us. What does our Christian faith tell us about the nature of this challenge and its meaning for us? For it is clear that our response will dictate how God sees us. It's not just about helping them. No one who listens to the words of Jesus can doubt for a moment that our care for those who are deprived is about our own destiny and our position in the sight of God, as well as theirs. When we read the Bible, we learn that the transformation of communities has always been the work of the Spirit of God. God said to Abraham, "Get out of your own country to a new land, and I will make you a great nation." The Spirit of God has always been threatening and overthrowing authoritarian and despotic regimes. Ezekiel wrote, "The Lord spoke to me, 'Mortal man,' he said, 'denounce the rulers of Israel. You take care of yourselves, but never tend the sheep. You have not taken care of the weak, healed those that are sick, bandaged those that are hurt, brought back those that wandered off, or looked for those that were lost. Instead, you treated them cruelly.'" The teaching of Jesus reinforces this. "I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. They care nothing for the sheep. As the Father knows me and I know the Father, in the same way I know my sheep, and I am willing to die for them." We need to grasp that we do not transform communities. The Spirit of God does that. But a worldwide Christian community, through prayer and action, can become a crucial part in that transforming process. And we can't be unaware or disconnect our thinking today from what is going on in the Arab world to transform communities, or the new regimes which have been developed in South America by the pressure of ordinary people, or the rising up of ordinary men and women which overthrew the Iron Curtain 20 years ago. So the Spirit of God is alive and active, changing regimes across the world. We can see that change is happening. He has put down the mighty from their seat and is exalting the humble and meek. Our faith teaches us that the Spirit of God, not us, creates change. But it also teaches us how change is brought about. God uses people who have been on the fringes of society to bring about change. We see the sign and guarantee of this in the person and work of Jesus. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. "What seems to be God's weakness," wrote Paul, "is stronger than human strength. He chose what the world looks down on and despises and thinks is nothing, in order to destroy what the world thinks is important." Not a bad theological comment on what is now happening in the Arab world. Now, the slides we saw about Sopixca in Nicaragua show the way the Christian aid program is working. And it shows that that program is being faithful to biblical teaching on how change is brought about. Christian Aid backed poor coffee farmers. They were people of no account. They came together in a cooperative. They gained the confidence to change their own lives and to decide themselves what kind of support they really needed. They were a disregarded, powerless group. Yet they've overcome all the odds. They've made real improvements in their community life, and they have an ongoing belief in the possibility of a new life. So how does that relate to us and our church community? We get an idea from the description of the early Christian community in the passage from Acts, which was read to us today. The community came together when people realized that the crucified Jesus was actually the power of God. The power was not with the great and the good, and it wasn't with the powers that be, the powers that control our lives. Christian communities, therefore, begin with repentance, a change of heart, a change of conviction about where power truly lies. It was this that released the power of God's Spirit for them. It brought them together. So that in place of a group of individuals hidden away on their own, there was a vibrant community that ate together, learned together, prayed together, and took its place in the wider community. And out of the strength of that togetherness sprang social action and great promise for the future. Now we know that we cannot respond or deal with the avalanche of needs that we know about as individuals or even as a church. To think that will lead to despair. But we can be faithful to the biblical understanding of how God acts in the world. We can, through prayer and action, through our own giving, and in what we say in casual conversation, help to promote support for the stones which the builders have rejected, so that people on the fringes of society can then share with us that full life which Jesus held out to those who follow his way. We'll keep silence for a moment or two, and then we'll join in singing the hymn 402, Ubi Caritas. It's very short, Tony, so can we sing it three times when we come to it? But a moment of silence first. We join in our intercessions for ourselves, for the world, and for those whom we love. at the end of each section of prayers, I will say, "May we be a part of that." And will you respond in the same words, "May we be a part of that." So let us pray. Lord Jesus, we love your picture of abundant life, of growth and plenty, good harvests and full stomachs, hope, justice, and the well-being of communities. So we celebrate the work of Sopixka and pray for the people of Nicaragua, who have put themselves firmly in your picture of abundant life. Through our praying, our acting, and our giving, may we be a part of that. Amen. Across the world, there are millions of people in your picture. Many are Christian Aid partners, and we pray for them. We celebrate the dignity, courage, and faith with which they work for change. Through our praying, our acting, and our giving, may we be a part of that. But we know that for many, the picture is somber and shadowed by failed harvests, dry riverbeds, earthquakes, and floods. We pray for them, and also that governments, policymakers, and those who hold power in financial systems may be moved to see a bigger picture of life in all its fullness. Through our praying, our acting, and our giving, may we be a part of that. This Christian Aid, we pray for organizers, collectors, and supporters, and for our work as a Christian community in all those ways to support Christian Aid. May we always see your bigger picture before our own eyes. And through our praying, our acting, and our giving, may we be a part of that. This is a prayer from Nicaragua. May it come soon to the hungry, to the weeping, to those who thirst for your justice, to those who have waited centuries for a truly human life. Grant us the patience to smooth the way on which your kingdom comes to us. Grant us hope that we may not weary in proclaiming and working for it. Grant us a clear vision that in this hour of our history, we may see the horizon and know the way on which your kingdom comes to us. Amen. Let us join in responding to the Christian Aid prayer. For laughter where there were tears, thanks be to God. May we be a part of that. May we be a part of that. For resilient communities, more able to withstand natural disasters, may we be a part of that. For voices speaking out against injustice, which were previously silenced, thanks be to God. May we be a part of that. For feasting where there was hunger, thanks be to God. May we be a part of that. For all the ways that Christian Aid is helping to transform communities, enabling our sisters and brothers to live fuller lives, thanks be to God. May we be a part of that. Thanks be to God. Amen. We continue our service as we take the offering. Living God, bless what we have offered, our prayer and our commitment, our money and our offering of time, that it may bring fullness of life to many. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. The hymn is 530, Living God, Your Joyful Spirit Breaks the Bounds of Time and Space. Living God, bless us as together we go out, empowered by our longing, strengthened by our solidarity, humbled by our need to love and serve the world. Amen. We say the grace together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.